הבה נגילה, הבה נגילה, הבה נגילה ונשמחה. הבה נגילה, הבה נגילה, הבה נגילה ונשמחה. הבה נרננה, הבה נרננה, הבה נרננה ונשמחה. הבה נרננה, הבה נרננה, הבה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Judge Eve Show. I'd like you to know that this song at the beginning, sung by me, not too expertly, but it means in Hebrew, come on, let's be happy. So let us especially be happy today because I'm so honored and so blessed, I have tears in my eyes, to introduce to you Mr. Louis S. Henzie. He and I had known each other from another radio show, and I had no idea what this gentleman has accomplished. He is a renowned author. The book that he has now that's really being publicized everywhere is The Lady of Justice and Diamonds. He's in the process of making a movie, Matter of Honor. And he is a virtuoso classical guitarist who's played at Carnegie Hall in the Metropolitan House in New York in 7 European countries. And wait till you hear, if I read all of his resume and what he's accomplished, we'd have to be here for a week. But he's graduated from the Mann's College of Music in New York City. He composed, and I need to hear from you, Lou, what is mastering? I don't know, but he's mastered and composed and arranged so many of our commercials like Coca-Cola, and he worked with Disney and Universal Pictures and for the Academy Awards. And if you look at his partial list, he has like 40, which are only partial list of motion pictures, TV and film trailers and documentaries that he done the music for, and every for recording artists. And I'll have Lou tell you because I don't know who is popular nowadays. And also, the commercials I've mentioned, classical music, where he performed solo. He studied under, and I hope I say his name correctly, at the Mann's College of Music in New York with the celebrated Russian guitarist and violinist Leonid Bolotin.
Bolotin, pretty close, Judge, pretty close.
Thank you. Well, you know, I speak different languages. But I welcome you, Lou. God bless you. Everybody, you should clap your hands. This is the Honorable Lou Henzie.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to say hello to all the listeners that are there. And, Judge, I'm so happy that you have your show.
Thank you.
Because I consider you a fellow brother in Christ. And
yes.
As you said, we met on another radio show. We were both commentators.
Yes.
And every time we were on together, it just felt so right. So thank you again, Judge, for giving me the time.
Oh, thank you. And Lou, I'd asked you before if it's okay, you know, because you are my brother in the Lord. And even though I'm Jewish, born in Jerusalem, and many Jewish people hate me for it, Jesus is Lord of my life, and I know he is for you. So,
yes.
Lou, were you actually born in New York, or where did you come from?
I was born in New Jersey, right across the George Washington Bridge, about by car, maybe 14
yes.
minutes from the bridge.
Yeah. I was
born in New Jersey, studied guitar there as a kid, you know, young teen.
Yeah.
Became a studio musician in New York. That, for those that don't know, those are musicians that do recording sessions. They don't go out on the road. They don't play live jobs. They're I'd like to say the cream of the crop because they're sight reading, being able to read music, you know.
Really?
First time
so that's
down
what
or
you...
second time down.
And that's what
so
you
I
do?
I started doing that and...
Yeah.
Began it was as a studio player, and then I became an arranger. And for those that don't know, an arranger is someone who gets a song and writes the individual parts for the band or the orchestra, writes the violin
wow.
parts, the trumpet parts, whatever, and comes up
yeah.
with the arrangement.
Yeah.
And that led to composition. And then a classical school, the Mann's College of Music, where I was studying guitar and composition.
Yeah.
And that is the early part of my trek.
May I ask you, Lou, what got you interested? You said you played guitar as a young child or young boy.
Right. I
what
started
got you
about
so
12 years old. I just liked it.
You
I
loved it.
Bought a guitar mm-hmm. from a friend of mine's older brother. some piece of junk, and I started plunking on it and taking lessons, and you know, it just was me, if you will.
I know exactly. And see, I'd never known about your musical background. I'm so amazed.
Well, yes, when you cut me, that's what comes out. That's my center. You mentioned a lot of things that I do,
yes.
But my center was grounded in music.
Well, I know that because, you know, when I heard your music, which we're going to play a little bit of, is that original composition?
Yes.
The one called
what Stephen? I sent you was all, besides being performed, it's composed by myself as well.
Oh, my goodness. And also, what is mastering tapes or music?
Well, mastering, that's something that I jumped on later on when I went to California. Mastering is an engineering process for recorded music. So if a band, whether it be pop music or an orchestra, if it's classical music, goes in and records whatever, an album or a CD, once the album is recorded, the next step is engineers, when I also do this as well, mix that. And mixing is the art of blending the individual instruments to get it just right. And then from the mixing stage, the finished mix goes to a mastering engineer who takes that and prepares it both technically and creatively for reproduction for CD, and before CD, for vinyl records, but for CD. So there's a step from when it's finished mixing, before it comes out to the public, it undergoes mastering, and that's an art form to itself. And so that's what mastering is.
So are you both an artist and an engineer? You're working from both sides of your brain then,
I work
right?
from both sides of the street. That happened in New York. It was all creative.
Yes.
I was in New York and worked out of New York for about 20 years, and then I moved to L.A. And the creative expanded, and I added all the technical.
And also the
mixing,
writing?
Mastering, editing, whether it be picture or video, along with screenwriting and production and directing.
What I'd like to
say. Sounds a lot coming out of the mouth, but it actually did happen over my 18 years in Los Angeles.
Wow. But amazing. And, you know, I want everybody to note, you notice what a beautiful voice Lou has? I always contend that people's voice shows who they are on the inside, and you're very velvety and kind.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Well, I mean it. You know, I don't say anything I don't mean. Not always very diplomatic, that's for sure. But, Lou, I'd asked you before, if it's okay, how long have you known Jesus in your life? And, you know, I'm going to ask you a question. Yes, go ahead.
Sure, let's go there. I was born Catholic, and I went to Catholic school, kindergarten through 8, with the Sisters of St. Joseph and the Franciscan priests.
Yes.
And, you know, then a public high school and, of course, a music conservatory in college. So my early years, you know, raised Catholic, and like any kid, you take it in. But it wasn't till much, much later that I kind of transitioned, I did, to what I would call a biblical Christian.
Praise God.
And it was my private study of the Bible later in life that where I feel my faith really strengthened and I came to know Christ. It's not...
Did you do the Bible study on your own? You just one day decided?
On my own. I just read and read and read, and then I would listen to different, you know, Bible preachers, scholars. There was no formal study. It was just on my own. And, I, you know, for a layman, I know the Bible fairly well. I'm not an expert, but certainly more than most, let's put it that way.
But you see what it shows me, Lou? God chose you. You know how he says he knows us before we were born, and he knows the end from the beginning. And he put a hunger in your heart to go beyond the religious side of Catholicism. You wanted to know the essence of Catholicism.
Yes, I mean, and so as a Catholic, I mean, I'm a Catholic, and one would say Catholic in name only now, not in a derogatory sense, but because I am biblically centered, where I feel, this is not a knock because I love the Catholic Church, but I feel that, you know, from the organizational point of view of the Catholic Church, we're not in the Bible enough. We're in too many man-made tenets. And that goes, in my opinion, for most all the religions.
I can tell you for Judaism, because you know how Jesus said, whomever he set free is free indeed. When, you know, being raised in an Orthodox Jewish home and following all the holidays, and you have to do this and you have to do that. When I accepted Jesus, I felt I truly don't have to be bound by any of that anymore. Doesn't mean I stopped being...
I agree. I mean... That's the essence for me of Christ, is his teachings, his words, And, you know, formal religion does wonderful things, but it can get caught up in its own rules, and you kind of many times loses sight of what got you there.
Exactly. You know something that's coming to me now? You know, I'm a prophet as well. You're going to start composing and writing very Jesus-oriented. Already your book, Lady of Justice and Diamonds, is based on the Bible, but it's going to be directly Christian-type music. I don't know exactly why I'm saying that, but you're going to get song after song after song. You're going to get the words.
Yeah. That will be great. You're going to get as I said, my belief in Christ is strengthened just from reading the Bible. And
yes.
I would say that, you know, everything one needs to know is there.
Exactly. But because God gifted you, and I'm seeing it in you in the past, you know, I've ministered all over the country, and people come up in line, and I pray for them. And often I would see them, if they were musically inclined, to be like the whole body is like a tube, you know, like you see with an organ, a pipe. Your body is a full pipe going all the way from the bottom of your feet all the way to the top of your head. And I have to say, when I heard your music, I mean, it just touched me in the depth of me.
You're very kind, Judge.
I would say also
that, you know, life hands you a lot of, as you know, curveballs. Because when I really started studying the Bible, I was at a very, very difficult point in my life emotionally, what was going on. And it was like I just grabbed it and just started reading. And from that, got answers to certain things and became more and more involved, you know, and loving reading it and trying to understand most of it. Some things are still difficult, as you know.
Of course, for all of us.
It was out of an emotional, I don't want to say an emergency, but certainly a difficulty that I just started reading.
You know, amazing.
Picked it up, opened it up, and I started with the New Testament and just started reading.
Wow. And you see why I call God the master setup? He gets us to a place where we have nowhere else to look, right?
Exactly right.
I see him, you know, that's why he says, you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts, you know, my ways are not your ways. So I tell him, show me your thoughts, show me your ways. And that's what I was trying to say, Lou. You're going to feel more inspiration starting today. And I'm saying to you, is this to you as a prophet than you've ever had in your whole life? In Jesus' name, and every project you have is going to be world known.
I'll tell you, and again, I don't want to sound corny, but
go ahead.
Written, as you know, we'll probably get into it, 9 screenplays, and of course the book, The Legend of Justice and Diamonds.
Yes.
And all of them, the screenplays are, you know, they vary from romantic comedy to sci-fi adventure to
mysteries,
heavy drama, whatever. Yeah. But in all of them, there's a thread, and it's going to come out corny, but there's a thread of God. There's a thread of in there as a subtext. It doesn't matter what's going on.
Yes.
It's there, and it's the same thing in the book. And I know, Judge, you've read the book, so
you're very much aware
of it. That's a secular fantasy, but it's really a secular spiritual fantasy. And
that's what Satan does.
The thread in there is very biblical.
You know what else? I noticed too in reading your background, you wrote the script for Madame President. Did you know it's going to be on TV now? Pardon me.
No, that's a project. That's a project in development of the scripts that you know. That you're aware of, Matter of Honor is finished. The development is finished on that. That's an Italian-themed crime drama, very old school.
Wow!
And we're working on the funding. That's an independent film. We're working on the funding for that. Madam President is about the first woman president of the United States.
Yes.
And it's not a Republican, Democrat, or liberal conservative. It's really how a woman solves problems compared to a man. It's really that's a hilarious ride.
But, you know, it's been advertised on TV. Did you know that it's been advertised that it's coming on the air on TV? Did you know that?
I'm not sure if they're referring to the same thing, but it's possible. I mean, we definitely have been doing a lot of work between the East Coast and the West Coast on it.
If I find out exactly, I think I saw it on Investigation Discovery or another station, you know, they keep it, and it's with the woman who played an alien, Sigourney Weaver, I think is her name.
Right.
She's, I think, the lady president.
Right. It could that could be a TV series on cable.
Oh, maybe a series on cable
with a similar name, because it does happen.
I see.
Madam President, the feature that I have, we're in development, so we're not there yet. But the first project up, if we finish the funding, that's always a trek with independent film, is Matter of Honor, which is, as I said, this Italian-themed crime drama.
What I was going to say, Lou, if it's okay with you, I know the Matter of Honor is pretty much being set for filming, but anybody can contribute to be a part of it. Would you like anybody to contact you? And if so, not only that, but how to get your books. Do you
Well, the book is up on Amazon, you know, Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and it's The Legend of Justice and Diamonds, and maybe we could chat about that for a little bit.
We sure
and,
will.
As far as the funding goes, shows, I don't know if it's right or legally right that we could do this, something like this, but it's possible. I can always look, go to my website at hentertainmentinc.com,
okay.
H like Hempsey, entertainmentinc.com, and you can... You can see which projects are in development, and if anybody's interested in anything, we'll contact them there.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, other people might have an interest. Maybe they've had no opportunity or vehicle to invest money in, and, you know, if at least contact you and discuss it with you, it could work out to be great, you know?
Sure.
And
sure.
I know you want to talk, pardon me?
I'd like to talk a little bit, if we could, about what makes, what I think, and especially in with Christ and whatnot, we have this secular book, as I said, The Legend of Justice and Diamonds.
Yes.
And but there's a spiritual subtext running through it. But what I love about the book, and I think its strongest part for any for Christian parents, is I know that there are many parents who want their kids, and when I say kids, I mean the age of this book would be probably 12 on up, although there's nothing in the book that someone younger shouldn't read, but they may not understand. But it's about 12 on up. But the point here is that this is a big epic with a big, big cast of characters, and it takes place.
Why don't you tell us how long you've had the dream of writing that book, the Legend
of
Justice?
Well, that's a wild story. I started this work before I moved to Los Angeles. So,
which was how long ago?
I would say that some 20 years ago.
That was when
I
you
started
were
this
three,
work,
right?
When Michael Jackson was doing music videos, and he was it was around the time of the Thriller.
Oh, yes.
And the point of that is, we were going from videos that were for one song, and then there was a long form music video, 20 minutes long, 15 minutes long. They were becoming longer, and I had come up with this story. It's not the final story as it is now, but I come up with this story in song form, in nine songs. And so
you're going to make it a musical.
To tell this story as a music video, which was new then, in long form. I never got it on the screen. And then I moved to L.A., and then I decided to write the script.
Wow.
So usually you have a book, and then from a book it goes to script. When there are, you know, adaptations from literary works.
Yes.
So this was just the opposite. I wrote the script.
Yes.
And then that was the first script. I wrote the script, and then I went on to write other projects.
Yes.
And then I decided to take the script and then reverse engineer it into the book, and I doubled it. I doubled its length. In other words, it's actually two films. The book is two films in length.
Wow. And, you know,
so that was kind of an interesting take. But the point I wanted to make is a lot of parents, you know, kids love action, adventure, lore, this, that.
Right.
But this is a work that I think parents would love their kids to read, because the subtext of this wild story is there are consequences for every action. The strong should help the weak, not dominate the weak. And there are a lot of great tenets at the bottom, the subtext of this wild, wild story that's really Shakespearean in its twists.
It's basically
the story of the Jack of Diamonds and the Lady Justice and the father of the Jack, this ruthless king. And you follow their exploits, and you cover love in every aspect of it. You cover betrayal,
jealousy,
loyalty, good, evil. It's every kind of virtue is thrown at you, and it's opposite and how they work on each other. And it's just a wild ride with a lot of ethics and morality in a jam-packed story, if I may.
And I can vouch for that because you were so kind so long ago to give me a copy of your book. So thank you so much. And what I'm thinking, you know, Lou, have you considered contacting boards of education and or schools in different school districts to make it part, you know, how they give you required reading type assignments?
And I've been thinking about it. I have been thinking about it. I have not executed that yet, but I have been thinking about it. The book right now, a very good friend of mine who read it just sent it to the Vatican, if you can believe that.
One
of the Monsignors at the Vatican for him to review as a recommended book. Again, even though it's a secular work, I want to say that to your audience, it's a secular work, and it's a fantasy, but you have a lot of biblical and spiritual God's tenets at subtext.
Exactly. And this way it can go to the Catholic schools then, right, if they approve
it? Well, I don't know if that will happen, but this just happened last week, so my friend's son actually got on an airplane. He's good friends with the Monsignor, and they took the book there, so you don't know. We never know.
I'm telling you, Lou, this is going to be worldwide. And you know what? When you can, and if it's convenient, and if you're led to do it, try to contact other countries as well. You know how you can easily now interpret books, you know, on the computer
or
translate them. And what's coming to me, Spain, Italy, well, you already have a Monsignor, France, and South America, Mexico and South America. This is just coming to me, so you do whatever you want with it.
But that's a wild idea. Sure.
Yeah.
Different
and
translations.
Please tell people again where they can get your book.
The title of the book is The Legend of Justice and Diamonds. And Justice is Lady Justice, and Diamonds is the Jack of Diamonds. The Legend of Justice and Diamonds, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can find out if there's a little bit on justiceanddiamonds.com, the website itself. But as far as buying the book, it would be Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay. What led you to give the book this title?
Well, as I said, the main characters, the original title was Pictures and Symbols.
I saw
that. And I decided to change that because the characters are taken from a regular deck of cards and a tarot deck of cards.
Yes.
And I want to let your audience know this is by no means a fortune-telling book, but the tarot cards in the 13th century when they were first created, before they were used as a device for divination, they reflected the qualities of man. And so I created world of
is
the forest of cards.
Is that the reason for them?
Pardon me?
I say, is that why they were created? I didn't know that.
Initially they were, when the cards were created, way before it became a fortune-telling adjunct, I don't want to say device, but adjunct, they represented the qualities of mankind, the good and the bad. I mean, like temperance, prudence, star, they all had meaning as to, if you read their meanings outside of the world of fortune-telling, just what they stood for, they basically are the character types of humanity, both good and bad. So I created this world where that world, their actual characters, they interact with. Again, we're set in a time. The book is set back in the past, where future began. Legend does tell of an evil land where brother fought brother, men lived by sword and the gun, ruled by the first king who cared for none. And I set up this world, which is pre-biblical, again, we're fantasy, where it's ruled by the ruthless king of clubs. And basically we have evil and not much good. And the story is told, again, in fantasy world, God creates this character called Aeschylus. And in the prologue of the book, Aeschylus speaks, he opens his eyes, and he's in the firmament with God, and he is aware that he is alive.
Is
Satan? The creator scribe. He's given a commandment by God, look out across the void and write what you see. Again, the fantasy. And Aeschylus begins to chronicle what he sees on earth, in the land of the king of clubs. And it ain't good what he sees.
That's exactly
what's
going on
right now. A lot of betrayal
and
treachery and I use that to set up reality, life, the evil, and then the good that goes against it, and the constant battle back and forth between the characters that are good and the characters that are bad.
I thought it was wonderful.
And you follow this story of the Jack of Diamonds, who was the firstborn of that King of Clubs, who was thought to have been murdered as a child, which he wasn't.
Right.
And you follow his trek, and the Lady Justice, who's from the Forest of Cards. And they fall in love, and they're exact opposites. I mean, initially he's ruthless, which he's not. He has the heart of his mother, and she's all good. And yet they love each other. And the power of love is demonstrated to transform in this book on all levels.
I love it. And it can conquer all evil, right?
That's what happens. I mean, it's a battle. It's a battle. A lot of characters. It's a big cast and a lot of cool characters that young kids will like. But when you follow their trek and their storyline, there are consequences, good and bad, to everyone's actions.
I think I've
actually reap what you sow. It's demonstrated very much in the storyline.
Amen. And I think I had written to you before, you know, quite a while back, suggesting, did you consider making it like a cartoon, you know, or the, it's not with live actors.
Well, the production design that I see, I mean, if God smiles and we get these first two or three films done, this would be scheduled to be the fourth one.
Oh,
maybe
wow.
Three or number four. And the production design that I'm seeing is a combination of live action and 3D animation. The scenes that take place in the Forest of Cards would be 3D animation. The scenes that take place on Earth in the King's Land would be live action. And it'd be interesting because some of the characters, not all of them, but some of them come from the Forest of Cards and they cross dimensions to the King's Land. So you would see that same character in 3D animation when he or she was in the Forest of Cards, and then you would see it as a regular actor. And with, you know, recognizing the face and whatnot,
that
live action.
So fast. And that's exactly what happens. You know, the demonic, you know, come from their world to this world, or angels can come, you know, from the spiritual world to this world. And as you were saying it, I'm visualizing it. Your words describe pictures. Did you know that?
I hope so. I sure hope so. I hope so.
You know, I'm a little bit early, but I think we do need to go to a commercial break. And after that, I would love, a few minutes later, I'd love to hear the piece of music that you'd written. And then continue to talk about the legend of Justice and Diamonds. And also about The Matter of Honor, which is your film now ready to be produced.
Fine. And that's the level working on that. That would be great.
Okay. So we'll go to commercial now. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, known also as Cohen Sternlight. I'm so glad to be on bbsradio.com every other Saturday, like this Saturday, June 2nd. I have a website, www.9020holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murder in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister and the theft of their millions. I've written a couple of books, but one of them is available on the website as an e-book, Diary of a Sovereign Faith in Action. Also, I am a prophet, I am a seer, and I am a healer, and if people are interested, I can set up appointments to help people for a fee, and it will depend on what's involved and what has to be done. And to reach me, you can reach me by my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J U D like David, G like George, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing what else you would like to hear on the show and what help you might need. Also, legally, especially for people who are unemployed, I can help. I cannot give specific advice, but I can help. Maybe also political issues and other legal issues and spiritual issues. Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you. Hello, everybody. You were just blessed to hear the music, Death and the Maiden, which had been composed by Lou Henze, who is my honored guest today. A virtuoso classical guitarist who's played at the Carnegie Hall and the Metropolitan Opera and not all over Europe, but seven countries in Europe. And I wanted to give you the call-in numbers if anybody would like to talk to Lou. And the one number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. The other number is a more local number, 530-327-7602. That's 530-327-7602. Thank you. And Lou, we didn't hear it, but your music was just played. Can you tell us a little bit about it? What it meant and why you...
Sure. That particular cue, which is the cue as for the listeners, is a film term. Anytime you have a piece of music in a film,
yes,
you refer to it as a cue. In any event, there was a film, and starring Sigourney Weaver, as a matter of fact, called
really?
Death and the Maiden, which was a very, very powerful film. Actually, it was only three characters in the entire film.
Huh.
And the producer of that film, this was a while ago, sent me the script, and I loved the script, and I was dying to get into that picture as a composer. So I, you know, composed that track, producer of that film, sent me the script, and I was very inspired by the female character who, in the story, was totally abused by the Nazis in South America, and the film takes place many, many years later.
Oh.
And it inspired me to no end, and I wrote that theme to the guitar line, represents all the pain that she's
That's
got.
That's what I felt.
Sent it
oh
to
my.
Tom. Tom sent it to France where they were mixing the picture. I just missed getting into the picture.
Yeah.
And so what we used that cue for was trailers and things like that. I wasn't in the picture, but it was used for trailers for the picture and other things.
Oh, it you know, it was literally like you were playing the strings of my heart. This is what I felt when I listened to it.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate it. It's a very powerful theme. I mean,
very.
And it worked beautiful with the character.
Yes, and that's why I pray that everybody else enjoyed it out there. And if you want to call and talk to Lou, please feel free to do so. But Lou, let's talk a little bit about Matter of Honor, and then let's go back to the Legend of Justice and Diamonds.
Okay,
by the way,
Matter of Honor.
Yes.
Matter of Honor is an independent film that I wrote.
Yes.
And in my company, as I said, H Entertainment Inc., we've got 9 projects, various styles. But Matter of Honor is the one at this point that's first up now for funding. The development is done, the casting is done, the location's done, and we're just finishing up, God willing, the financing.
Yes.
It's a story. It follows three generations.
Yes.
In a family, from grandfather to father to son, and
yes,
there is a rare gun that the grandfather owned. There are only 4 in the world. The picture opens up. I'm not giving anything away.
Yeah.
He has just died. It would be the grandfather.
My.
The gun is passed down to his son.
Yeah.
His son is 18, 19 in Sicily. He emigrates to the United States, and he becomes a caretaker for a beloved Monsignor in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
He worships the ground the Monsignor walks on.
Yeah.
Now that's your setup. We jump to the current state. Now, that man has a son, and that's what the film is all about. It's about Michael Silvano. He's inherited this gun from his father. It went from the grandfather to the father to him. His father is dead.
Yes.
And someone breaks into his home, and he grabs this gun, and he shoots at this assailant. His mother lives with him, doesn't kill anyone, hits a lamp. The police come. They arrest the intruder, and the young man is so taken back that he almost shot his mother by accident in trying to protect her, that he decides to turn the gun in. He doesn't want it in his house, even though it's an heirloom.
Wow.
The police run ballistics on it, just routine, before they destroy it, and they find, this is your setup, that gun matches the gun, or the ballistics from a gun, that murdered Scranton's Monsignor Belcaro 30 years earlier, when this boy was, when he was just 3 years old, when his father worked for the Monsignor. Now, his father is dead, He was three when the crime was committed, and that's your hook for the picture.
Yeah.
And he, Michael, basically his philosophy is, I had the greatest father in the world. We usually have films about rotten mothers, rotten fathers, abusive this. This is just the opposite.
My father was
next to God. He was the greatest man in the world that I've ever known, and there's no way that he could have done this.
Yeah.
So he sets out from where he is to go to Scranton to get to the bottom of what really happened there when he was 3 years old. And the story is about who he meets, who comes into his life, and what really happened back then. It is a wild ride. It's very old school.
Yeah.
He meets the love of his life in Scranton when he's there.
Yeah.
What becomes the love of his life, I should say.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of plot twists and what really happened as he tries to get to the bottom.
It's amazing to me how you come up with these plots and storylines.
It's a wild ride. It's a great indie film. If you like drama and suspense.
I love drama and suspense. I can't wait for it to come out.
We have like, loosely attached, like Harvey Keitel and Santi.
Yeah.
Of course, all of this is predicated on the shooting schedule, you know, who's available, but they're all interested and want to do it. So where we are, world, is we're looking for the rest of the financing, and we'll eventually close it, God willing.
Yes,
and then we'll shoot
God willing. In Jesus' name, we agree. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. We thank you and praise you. You said whenever two or three of us shall agree of touching anything, it shall be done for us. And
Amen.
We lift up this project and all the others, and we thank you. And send the angels of finances to bring everything in that Lou needs for this film and the others. In Jesus' name,
amen.
And Lou, I really wanted you to, you know, because you want to also to concentrate on Lady Justice and Diamonds.
Right.
Excuse me. And what would you like to say about that, you know, other than what you've... Oh, I know what I was going to ask you first. What made you go to writing instead of composing? And how do you compare the experience of being an author to that of being a composer?
Well, for me, one is an extension of another. I tend to think in terms of the whole. That's what made me go into composition when I became an arranger and a composer.
Yes.
When you're a player, you're one voice. But when you're a composer or an arranger, you're writing for the whole. And so that mentality or that thing that I like to do, see it all, it just extended to writing. And so,
but you do it in words.
I mean, they're very, very similar, even though one is, you know, you're talking in the literary world as far as the music world. But for me, they're similar. It's motivated by emotion.
Yes.
And that doesn't know whether it's music or, you know, or
words.
Written word.
So you're doing the same.
That's for me, the motivator.
So you're doing the same thing, except one you express with music and the other one you express with words in a film.
Yeah, obviously you need the training. I mean, you have to have the training, the disciplines for the two disciplines. But in the end, once you have that, you're expressing emotion in a different way.
Wow. First I'd like you to repeat again where people can buy The Legend of Justice and Diamonds.
Yeah, The Legend of Justice and Diamonds, again, and that's very kind of you, is available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com under my name, which is Lewis Hemsey. And, or you just put the title in, The Legend of Justice and Diamonds, and it'll pop up. And
let me spell your last name.
It's a great read.
And I agree, because I've read it. Let me spell your last name for people. H-E, M like Mary, S like Sam, E-Y. Just
that's
so you
correct.
Know who he
Hemsey.
Is. Pardon me?
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, okay. And then you also gave your website before, if anybody needs to contact you or wants to, about your movie or anything else.
Yeah, if it's about music, it would be louhemsey.com. If it's about film, it would be hentertainmentinc.com.
All one word, right? Before
right,
the
all,
dot com.
Yeah, the letter H, the word entertainment, and INC, inc.com, all strung together.
Right. Thank you. So people know how to contact you. So let's
sure.
not concentrate on the legend of... I have such a hard time, you know, saying the words. I don't know why. The legend... Go ahead,
of
please.
Of Justice and Diamonds.
Right. What would you like the audience to know more about it? Why they should get the book? Why they should have their children read the book? Why, if anybody there in the school...
We had gone into that a little bit before, but I mean, I feel so strongly about parents would love their children to read this book because they will be enthralled with the action, the adventure, the good, the bad, the love, and everything is appropriate, and yet it's very heavy.
Yes.
It's very heavy in its, you know, in its text, its mores, its morals, but it's a wild, wild ride story-wise. Fantasy,
yes.
Super entertaining, but you come away with all of these spiritual tenets, like I said before. And in
yes.
that aspect, I mean, the parents would love the work. It's, you know, if you think of, this is not analogous, but in terms of the audience spread, if you think of the Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or Narnia, that
yes.
was enjoyed by young teens all the way on up to parents. This is
yes.
the same. It's a completely different subject matter, but
right.
this is the same. It's a very wide work.
You know what
and
I'm thinking as you talk?
I think they would love for their children to see, read it.
You know what came to me as you were talking just now, and that's the first time I saw that? Have you considered making it, at least a part of it, in comic book form?
I haven't. I've always thought of it on the big screen.
Yeah, but why not have, you know, how people, you know, remember like Star Trek when it came out? You know, then
sure.
they had T-shirts. In fact, their office was next to my law office in Hollywood at the time, Roddenberry. You know,
yeah,
isn't that something?
That's a wild thing. The
yeah,
book is really a trilogy. I mean,
yes. Oh.
This is the first book. It's a trilogy. And,
yes.
May, if all goes well and the film comes out, we may do the second one.
Yes.
You know, as an animated, all animated, and maybe the third
oh.
one only on DVD.
Oh.
You know, different.
See.
In other words, I'm seeing it as coming out for the world in different environments. One is feature film. One
yes.
being animation, and the third one might be just DVD.
But what about the idea of putting into cartoons in the meantime anyway? I don't know the legalities or if you have somebody who can help you draw it. What do you think?
It's a possibility. I don't see it there initially. If you're talking about that, I could see a 3D animated feature because it's perfect for that. But I do
yes.
think live action and the combination of 3D animation is, for the moment, is the strength of the production.
It's wonderful.
Style.
You know, I don't watch the animated movies. You know, they had The Lion King, and I didn't
right,
go
right.
to see Avatar. But I think the combination of both is just fantastic. You
yes.
know, and people,
I like it.
When I read the book, this is what I was visualizing. You know, I think it was shortly afterwards when I suggested that you do it as a cartoon. Again, I'm not knowledgeable in making movies. But it's very, very
well,
visual.
Well, you use the word cartoon. Obviously, cartoon today means on a feature is 3D. you still have some 2D being done, but basically it's all 3D. So you're seeing what I'm seeing. I'm just seeing that fused with live action.
You know, it's so funny because I am a seer, you know, so I do see into people's brains. So were you just thinking that? Is that what you were doing when you were describing it?
Yes, and that's what I'm trying to say to you. You're using the word cartoon, and cartoon today is 3D animation.
How funny. But what I mean is, if you were, you know, when I used to minister, you know, I've ministered all over the country, and people
right.
come up in line, and I would just see everything about them. So if it's something that you're already thinking, and I see it, I'm not impressed. Because
oh, Judge, I love you. Judge, I love you.
I love you too, Lou. But no, this is going to be huge. You know, is there anything else? We only have a few more minutes that you would like to talk about or bring out to the audience's attention. And you know what I was going to say first, Lou? What you said about the book describes what happens when you read the Bible. You know, first you see the stories of it. You know, and
right.
each time you read it, you find something deeper, you know, and more meaningful. And that's
absolutely.
Really... And that's what you've done with The Legend of Justice and Diamonds. So
it's a great visual read. And,
yes.
Doesn't mean much when the author says it, but I'm saying it, and people can judge what I'm trying to say here.
Yes.
It's a wild ride. It's adventure, fantasy, love, hate, good, love, lust, but not and the difference between the two.
Yes.
And there are a lot of characters that think one way, and then someone's, you know, like somebody says there's a character in the thing that he said he wants justice for what has happened to his brother, and another
yes.
character says, no, you want revenge. And even the differentiation between those two, the young reader really gets to see in written form a lot of the both sides of the same coin, and what happens when you go left and what happens when you go right.
You know what else you're doing? You're adapting your story to today's use of television and technology and the movies to fit in line with what the kids are using today. You know, I'm thinking iPads, I hope I'm saying the right words, iPhone, you know, everybody's always listening to music or watching something. So that was part of your purpose and the way you produced
it. Well, what I like about, one of the things I like about this story is that
yes,
you're not dealing with technology. I'm talking about in the story.
Right.
This is all human interaction, even with the fantasy characters, but it's interaction, and it's you know, the qualities of life demonstrated and back and forth in terms of good and evil, decisions
yes.
people make, why they make that decision, and what happens as a result of it, things that you didn't expect.
There's, yes.
You know, there's so many competing emotions on a given
yes.
storyline and a given narrative, and you see both sides of it. And so it's very instructive without trying to be instructive because you're just reading this story. But
right.
as you're reading and following this very story with a lot of, you know, secondary storylines, you're really learning the difference between A and B, between
exactly.
good and
what
evil, between lust and love, you know, between
teaching God
justice and revenge or good and evil. All these kind of
yes.
things, you're seeing the difference.
Yes.
And so the reader gets that. As I said, it's a great story, a wild ride, and there's a sequel.
You know what I meant, though, when I said that, like you say, two sequels, right, like trilogy.
Yes.
What
yes.
I meant to say, though, it's not that they use technology necessarily to get the information, but you're appealing to the way information is being given out nowadays. I love movies. You know, when you watch the movies of the 40s, it was more dialogue, character development. When you watch
right.
movies today, and that's why I don't like so many of them, it's fast, 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 move, kill, do, you know, no thinking,
well,
no depth.
No question, Judge. You've jumped into the world of Hollywood, and I'm in that world.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
But you are right that most of the features being done, the big budget features, are what
yes.
they call tentpole movies, and they're more, as you said, action.
Yes.
Explosion, CGI, you know, computer graphics. And
is that what that stands for?
Light,
I see.
Being kind, is light, as opposed to a very heavy storyline or something, you know, with weight to it. Weight
yes.
doesn't mean boring. If you have
yes.
a great storyline, you're enthralled.
Exactly.
You don't need a lot of, you know, effects. You're
and
taking
garbage.
It. So
yes.
you are correct in your assessment of that.
I thank you so much, Lou. I was just going to make an announcement before I say goodbye, but I didn't want to fail to say goodbye, to thank you from the bottom of my heart so much for being on the show with me. How blessed
Judge,
I am.
I love
to...
you, and I know
you.
We're going to be doing other things together, and
Amen.
I want to thank the audience for their time and for their kind attention. And
thank you.
Doug, thank you on your side, on the engineering side, and I look forward, Judge, to doing it again.
Exactly. And you know what? Next time we'll be talking about how you're in the middle of already filming The Matter of Honor and you've already got investors to start The Legend of Justice and Diamonds.
You got it right, Judge. I love you, babe. I love you. In Jesus' name,
God
amen.
Bless you, Lou. Because
Thank
what I was
you.
Going to say is one of my aims on this show, and again, I'm sort of letting the Lord lead, is to be able to pray for people on the show, for miracles, for healings. God has used me in miraculous ways in the past. So if people are interested in having, you know, maybe email me. I think the station has it in my ad, but it's EE, Judge Eve, and that's two E's in the middle. I always say like elephant. 79@gmail.com, and I would love to have people call in for prayer. And again, Lou, thank you. Lou Henze, the honorable, virtuoso, classical guitarist, and movie maker, and renowned author, and we didn't even say all the awards that you've gotten for everything.
Oh,
God bless
okay.
you, Lou. Thank you.
Thank you,
thank
Judge.
You. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. See ya. Thank
have
you.
A blessed day. Thank
God
you. Bye-bye. Hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, Eveinu shalom alechem. Eveinu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem. Eveinu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem.